This episode is brought to you by State Farm. If you're a small business owner, you know that it isn't just your business, it's your life. And whatever your business might be, you want someone who understands. That's why you might want to check out State Farm Small Business Insurance. Why? Because State Farm agents are small business owners too, living and working in your community. That means they know what it takes to help you personalize your policies for your small business needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Wow, that guy means business.
Just an amazing player.
No, not him, the sports photographer behind him.
What?
He has a business bank account with QuickBooks Money where he earns 5% annual percentage yield. So he's scoring big on and off the field. You might even say he's the MVB.
MVB?
The most valuable business.
Making your money work harder. That's how you business differently. Intuit QuickBooks. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank. Member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
This is Recode Media, Peter Kafka. That is me. This is not the episode we were going to bring you this week. We taped that one last week. It was a big look back at the year in AI. Kevin Roos in the New York Times really helped us sort of walk through the hype cycle, the reality. It was great. And now we can't use it because of the events of the last week. And so Kevin has graciously agreed to come back again. He's on no sleep. He may collapse during the podcast. That could be a good episode. Welcome back, Kevin.
That'd be great content. Yeah, if I just start snoring during the podcast, just wake me up, okay?
It's a good clip, at least. We're recording this at 1:34 on Monday, November 20th. Things could change by the time you hear this. But Kevin, let's do some really basic stuff. Who is the CEO of OpenAI right now?
As of this moment, and you know, as you said, things can change by the minute, it seems like. So as of this moment, the CEO of OpenAI is Emmett Shear. He is the former CEO of Twitch, and he was appointed late last night by the board of OpenAI on an interim basis.
And prior to Friday afternoon, if you just turned off your computers and didn't check your phones Friday afternoon, you might have thought the CEO of OpenAI was Sam Altman. Where is Sam Altman now?
Well, I don't know physically where he is in the world. I assume he's at home in San Francisco, but spiritually and sort of organizationally, he is now at least purportedly an employee of Microsoft. He and Greg Brockman, the president and co-founder of OpenAI, are leading a new advanced AI research team at Microsoft. Again, this is all as of announcements made late last night in sort of the fog of war, but it appears that he and Greg and hundreds of other OpenAI employees are prepared to decamp to Microsoft.
So to back up, before we go any further, last week OpenAI was the breakout startup of the AI boom. It was worth a theoretical $86 billion. Now Microsoft has essentially acquired most of the talent from there, and it's now a unit of Microsoft, or there's a version of OpenAI that's now a unit of Microsoft.
We still don't know the exact details because, again, all this is shifting so quickly. Mm-hmm. But what we know is that Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella announced on Sunday night that Sam and Greg Brockman were going to be the heads of this new AI research team, essentially kind of a mini OpenAI inside Microsoft, and that they were doing what they could to bring over as many OpenAI employees as wanted to come, and the sort of plan is that these people, you know, unless by some 11th hour miracle, Sam Altman and Greg Brockman are reinstalled at OpenAI, and unless the board of OpenAI resigns, the plan as of right now is for those people to all go work for Microsoft.
So this is an amazing story in tech. It's the biggest story of many, many months. You had to spend the whole weekend reporting on it. Again, thank you for coming. So we're going to dig into how all this happened, what it means. But if you're just a regular person who's used ChatGPT, that's the product OpenAI makes, and played with it, and maybe they did a homework assignment for you, or you know, that's kind of your interest in this. Why should you care about what happens to OpenAI and the fact that OpenAI now seems to basically move to Microsoft in the middle of the weekend?
Well, it matters because OpenAI is a massively important company in Silicon Valley. Not only do they make ChatGPT, which is, you know, the most popular AI product on the market, it's got 100 million weekly users, but it's also the company that's sort of at the front edge, the leading edge of the AI boom. They are the people with the most advanced models, the biggest sort of bench of top AI talent, and they have been kind of setting the agenda for the entire tech world over the past year. And so it is really a stunning turn of events that Sam Altman, who has been leading this company through a period of intense growth, was pushed out by the board in this dramatic, sort of mysterious coup led by his chief scientist and a number of board members who are also affiliated with this movement, Effective Altruism, that thinks that AI could take over the world and kill us all. It is just an insane story and so dramatic and cinematic, and it's almost certainly the most unusual story that I've ever covered in my career as a tech reporter.
And I want to get into all those details, but I just want to channel one of my coworkers in Slack today who's not covering this stuff but cares about the world. Says, this just seems like the same old, same old. There was a company, a big, important startup. Now Microsoft owns a big, important startup. It's just the same old, same old. That's a jaded Monday response, but also I get it. Why should you care who owns this stuff?
Well, I think it's just intrinsically interesting because of all the drama and the back and forth. I mean, this is not how tech business as usual gets conducted, you know, over a weekend before a holiday, you know, in this kind of cloak and dagger way.
But you've probably seen The Social Network, and that looks like guys screwing each other over for money, and it's a sad story. Maybe you've heard about Twitter firing its CEOs one or after another. It seems like, you know, if you want to be really reductive about it, this is just a bunch of rich white guys messing around with each other again.
I mean, if that's how you want to think about it, then you know, I don't want to dissuade anyone.
This is my straw man. I'm trying to get you
right.
To beat it down.
I mean, no one has to care about this story. I'm just saying why I care about this story and why I think it's actually like quite important. I also think it's just the stakes here are much different than the traditional kind of business dispute. These are not people squabbling over money or you know, control of some company. This is really a fight between two visions of the future. In one of them, AI is an exciting product and an opportunity to build new apps and new systems to transform the global economy and to sort of lead us into a glorious utopia. And in the other one, it is a menace and a kind of looming threat to humanity that is getting ever more powerful and that could someday wipe us out. I mean, it sounds like the plot of a science fiction movie, but it is really happening. These are really the stakes that the people involved think are involved here. And so, you know, for that reason, I think it's of interest to a lot of people.
So let's talk about that fight, because I think some of this was, if you cared to look, was evident, but most people weren't paying attention to this stuff. When OpenAI put out its press release on Friday afternoon, it seemed like this might have been a good old-fashioned business dispute. They said Sam Altman's leaving, and then normally in a press release like that would say he's going to, you know, pursue other interests, spend more time with his family, he's going to stay on as a consultant. But they made it very clear they were firing him, and they said they were firing him because of a lack of candor. So there was a brief period where my phone was blowing up with rumors about what Sam Altman had done to get himself fired by the OpenAI board, because it had to be something really bad to get fired as the head of, you're the face of AI, you're the face and founder, or you're the guy running this $96 billion company. You must have done something terrible. But it looks like, we haven't heard any evidence that that's actually the case, and it looks like there's actually this sort of theological schism you were just talking about. And so you're hearing terms like effective altruism, doomerism. Can you just get a little deeper into how there were two different camps at this same company and how they split?
Yeah, so it's a long and very convoluted story, and it would take maybe an hour to explain the whole thing, but I'll just
And a flowchart.
Yeah,
flowcharts tend to help.
Flowchart. But basically, here's the deal. There is this movement called effective altruism. And effective altruism, if you've heard of it, you've probably heard of it during the Sam Bankman-Fried FTX scandal.
It's all coming together. It's just a Sam, and effective altruism means something bad.
Yeah, so this is a group of people that started, you know, maybe a decade ago in earnest, although the ideas are somewhat older than that. They are basically trying to use rationality and logic to determine how to do the most good in the world. And several years ago, a lot of people in this community got worried about AI risk, and specifically what they call X risk, which is the risk that AI could cause us to go extinct as a species. And so for various reasons, they decided this was a top priority for them. And so a lot of effective altruists went to work in the field of AI and AI safety, especially at companies like OpenAI. A lot of their early researchers were either affiliated with effective altruism or sort of sympathetic to their views. And these people have sort of fallen out of favor with OpenAI in more recent months, in part because they are seen as being overly negative, overly pessimistic. Sometimes you hear people call them doomers. And so there is another crowd inside of OpenAI that is more excited about AI and less worried about existential risk and more commercial in how they're pursuing it. You know, they want to build AI into a profitable business and build it into popular products. And so those are the kind of two warring camps that have been inside OpenAI this whole time and really came to a head last week.
But Sam Altman's been doing this tour where he says, I'm building this new technology. It's really great. Also, it could be really dangerous. Is he both an enthusiast and a doomer? It seems like he's pro-enthusiast.
He has been trying to walk a very careful line. So funnily enough, you are not the only podcaster who had an episode become suddenly obsolete last week. My co-host and I on Hard Fork, Casey Newton, actually interviewed Sam Altman 2 days before he was fired as the CEO. And, he had no idea any of this was about to happen to him. We obviously had no idea. So we had this long conversation. But one of the things we talked about was this question of whether he is a more of a doomer or more of a what they would call an accelerationist, someone who thinks that AI is good and should move faster and we should kind of get out of the way. And he said basically he thinks AI is going to be amazing, but he also thinks that if we don't get it right, it could be sort of disastrous. And so he's sort of trying to play both sides of this debate and really listen to and express the concerns of both sides.
And the other thing that is confusing and confounding to a lot of people, including me, is that OpenAI is a nonprofit that also has a for-profit arm. So when we talk about this thing theoretically being worth $96 billion, that's like a subsidiary of the nonprofit org, and the nonprofit board is the one that fired Sam Altman.
Yeah, it's a very confusing and convoluted structure. But basically, you know, OpenAI was started in 2015 as a nonprofit. A couple years after that, in 2019, they decide, hey, we're building these AI models. They're expensive. We need a lot of hardware. We're going to need to bring on a lot of investments from other companies. They started a for-profit subsidiary, or technically it's a capped profit subsidiary. And that is sort of what people think of as OpenAI. But there is still this nonprofit board that is in charge of the for-profit subsidiary and gets to make decisions like whether or not to fire the CEO. So now you have the structure that is very unusual in the tech world. You know, usually the board is composed of, you know, VCs, investors, early employees, top executives, things like that.
And they don't generally do much. In theory, the one thing they can do is fire the CEO. And in theory, what they're supposed to do is look out for the good of the company and its investors. But the idea is they're supposed to sort of help the company be better and more profitable. That's not the charge here.
Exactly. So at most companies, the board has a fiduciary duty to shareholders. At OpenAI, since they have this weird nonprofit structure, that board, the nonprofit board that controls the company, is actually not beholden to shareholders at all. And in fact, many of the people on the board don't own any shares. And they set it up that way on purpose so that in the event that the sort of humanitarian mission of OpenAI to build safe and beneficial AGI were ever to come in conflict with more commercial priorities, the nonprofit would essentially be able to shut it down or at least make some big changes.
And so there is an argument. I mean, most people in my Twitter feed are very pro Sam Altman. I think that's not surprising. They may actually like him. He's also very powerful, very rich, very well connected, running this powerful startup. He's the kind of guy the Valley rallies behind. But there are folks saying, hey, if the nonprofit board thinks that Sam Altman is behaving irresponsibly and against what they're trying to get done, which is responsible, safe AI, maybe they made the right call. Can you make a case on behalf of the board along those lines?
I mean, I think if we're trying to steel man the board's position, you could say that, yeah, this is things working as they were designed. You know, the nonprofit board got worried about the direction of the company and they made a move and took out the CEO. I think the thing that's hard to sort of reconcile there is two things, actually. One is that they still haven't explained what the initial dispute was over. There was clearly something that convinced them that this was an urgent threat to the humanitarian mission of OpenAI, but they have not communicated what that was at all. And so people are just kind of scratching their heads. And the second thing is that immediately after they made this decision, they appeared to start trying to think about bringing Sam Altman back. There was this period this weekend where it looked like that was going to happen. They have not been consistent in their messaging at all about this decision. And so that's part of what is making people so frustrated with them.
Including, one of the people saying, oh, I regret this, is, I'm going to butcher his name, but it's Ilya Sutskever.
Sutskever, yes. Sutskever. Ilya Sutskever is the chief scientist of OpenAI and, you know, was basically the driving force behind the decision to fire Sam Altman, according to our reporting and the reporting of others. He was the person who sort of brought these concerns to the board. And now he is backtracking and saying, I made a mistake and I regret doing that.
He put out a tweet this morning saying, yeah, I never meant for this to happen. I shouldn't have signed that, as if it was just sort of a document put in front of him. He's also signed a document saying, we want Sam Altman back or we're going to quit. So it's very confusing. One of the takeaways, again, this can change in my Twitter feed, is, hey, you know what? This kind of shows you that the business model that everyone complains about in the Valley, where investors and VCs and big companies have a lot to say about what happens to these important technologies and all in the service of capitalism, maybe that's a pretty good model. Maybe it's a better model than having a nonprofit and for this important stuff, and that actually, you know, yay capitalism, essentially. Ben Thompson, the very smart analyst, had a note out basically saying that this morning. Do you think this is going to, what effect do you think this is going to have on sort of this kind of model? I mean, it's a very unique model, so maybe there's just, it's one-on-one. Will we see something like this again?
I think it'll be a while before we see something like this again with this kind of outside investment. I think if you are Microsoft and you have just spent $13 billion, if you've just invested that much money into a company with this kind of wacky organizational structure, I think you're going to think very hard about doing something like that again after seeing how easily it can become destabilized. And so I think a lot of companies are going to think twice before investing in something with this kind of governance structure, if something like this with this kind of governance structure even exists in the future, which I'm not sure it will.
We'll be right back after a word from a sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You've heard it before. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. But it's more than just a tagline, because State Farm agents are small business owners themselves who live and work in your community. And if you're in the market for small business insurance, who better to work with than an agent who understands what it takes? State Farm agents can help you create a personalized insurance plan that fits your small business needs and budget. Talk to your local State Farm agent today about small business insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Wow, that guy means business.
Just an amazing player.
No, not him, the sports photographer behind him.
What?
He has a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, where he earns 5% annual percentage yield, so he's scoring big on and off the field. You might even say he's the MVB.
MVB?
The most valuable business.
Making your money work harder. That's how you business differently. Intuit QuickBooks. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank. Member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
And we're back. Winners and losers. You did a column on that. Let's break down a couple of them. Again, things can change, but as of now, at 1:51 p.m. on Monday, November 20th, what's the status of OpenAI? Can it be a company if those, I'm seeing now numbers 650 of its 700 employees say they're going to leave. Is there a company if they leave?
I mean, I guess there's like on paper a company. It's not the same company, certainly, if the vast majority of employees leave. And it's not even clear what the board would be the board of.
I mean, they've got a commercial deal with Microsoft. It's still in place, right?
That's right. Who would keep ChatGPT up and running? Who is going to, build the next generation of these models? And who would want to, go work for them now? So I think there's a real existential threat to OpenAI. Yeah, I don't imagine things are looking good for them if they don't manage to bring Sam Altman back and stop this employee exodus.
And assuming that Sam Altman stays at Microsoft, and again, that was in the report, that was Satya Nadella saying, I've hired these guys, we're making this happen. He's the CEO of Microsoft. So it appears to be happening. Could change. On the one hand, he sunk $13 billion into this weird company and it all kind of blew apart. On the other hand, if you said you could buy OpenAI for $13 billion by today's standards, that would be a deal of a century. Did Microsoft do really well here in the end?
Absolutely. I mean, they are the biggest winner in this whole thing. They managed to turn what could have been a real threat to them into a real opportunity. Now, they not only have this existing deal with OpenAI, and they can continue to use OpenAI's models to power their products, but they also, if this, if the status quo holds, and they do end up getting a big infusion of people from OpenAI on this new team led by Sam Altman and Greg Brockman, they will effectively have a new OpenAI that they own 100% of, and whose IP will belong to them, and they will have control over this new team in a way that they did not have control over OpenAI under the old arrangement.
Why would Sam Altman agree to that? In theory, he could have gone and opened up shop today and had tens of billions of dollars in investment capital, in the same way that Elon Musk had people just over the transom throwing him $1 billion here and there. I imagine Sam Altman would have the exact same offer available to him right now.
Yeah, I've been calling around on this question over the past like 12 hours or so, and I would say there are a couple things that I've heard. So Sam Altman and Greg Brockman, they could have gone out, they could have raised a ton of money. Any investor in Silicon Valley would have written them a giant check to start a new AI company. But starting a new AI company has a cost associated with it. You've got to form the structure and write the articles of incorporation. And, you have to do all the sort of paperwork that comes with starting a company. But you also have to do things like acquire a bunch of compute. You have to go out and buy a bunch of GPUs from somewhere. And that's not easy to do right now. And so with Microsoft jumping in, they can sort of hit the ground running. Microsoft already has all of these, all of these data centers filled with GPUs that they can mm-hmm. use. And so it's just going to be a much easier place for them to get up and running.
And then Sam, now we're full on speculation, but one, Sam Altman famously in tech did not own any parts of OpenAI. And maybe there's indirect ownership. I imagine if he's going to go to work for Microsoft, he's not going to do that out of altruism. He's going to say, actually, I would like a significant piece of whatever this $9,600 billion, whatever we think this is going to be worth. I'd like to own part of that. Do you assume that Microsoft will have to write him some version of a very big check to make this happen?
I don't know. I mean, that's remains to be seen. I can speculate that I don't think money is all that important to Sam Altman at this point in his career. I mean, he's already fabulously wealthy. He was, running OpenAI with no real stake mm-hmm. in the company and nothing, financial to really gain from its success. So maybe he doesn't care about money, even if he is working for Microsoft, or maybe this is sort of his chance to, I don't know, get a bigger stake in something that he's been working really hard on. I don't know the answer to that, but we'll see.
back to the bigger picture takeaway, the argument that AI is this powerful technology that could also doom us has been floating out for a while. It's got skeptics sort of across the spectrum. There's sort of leftish leaning people who say, oh, when you make that argument, you're actually saying that AI is more powerful than it is. There's people like Mark Andreessen who say this is doomerism. Right now, that argument seems to be associated with like real corporate ineptitude. You know, again, the story may evolve over time, but right now our understanding is the board really sort of handled this the worst possible way. Does this make it harder for anyone to sort of realistically argue that AI really is a threat that we need to be worried about? It sounds like these are sort of like the weird hippies complaining about, you know, some sort of thing that never came to pass and they're stuck in the 60s. These guys seem out of touch and clueless. Is this going to set that argument back?
It could. This is all speculation since yes. All this is unfolding so quickly. I have talked to people who are sort of in the effective altruist, what you could call the doomer camp. And they're worried that this will sort of set back the movement, because now when people think of, you know, effective altruism, they might think, oh, that's the sort of ideology that took down OpenAI.
FTX.
And FTX, right.
Yeah.
So I think there is an argument, but I also think like there's an argument that this was actually a success for the movement, that in a very real way, this is a movement that has been concerned that AI was moving too quickly and they wanted a pause. They wanted for there to be some interruption to the acceleration. And this is a pause. I mean, it's going to be, months before, this new
Microsoft. They've thrown their bodies on the gears of the machinery.
Yeah. I mean, whether you think it was effective or not, they certainly made an impact, and they were able to make a strong statement in favor of caution and safety around AI.
One last, then I'm going to let you go, and you can nap or report or whatever you want to do. Do both things at the same time. I originally had you on because we're basically at the one-year anniversary of OpenAI rolling out ChatGPT. It became an immediate sensation. There was an enormous amount of consumer popular interest in AI for a bit. That has faded pretty considerably, and there's a little bit, there had been some sourness about sort of maybe what AI means for the Valley. If we step out of all that, we're now a year into sort of AI being mainstream. What are you most excited about as someone who covers this stuff all the time? Aside from this soap opera on steroids, what are you most excited about when you think about AI?
Oh, man, it's hard to pull my brain out of the soap opera that it's been in all weekend. I mean, you know, I think I would say I'm really interested in just how AI is working its way into normal people's lives. I have talked to doctors and lawyers and teachers and musicians and filmmakers and all kinds of people who are using this stuff, grappling with the ethics of using this stuff. And it's just been really fun to kind of see how this technology that kind of arrived unannounced and with very little fanfare has just totally upended some portion of the world. And it's actually like something that I was excited to ask Sam Altman about before all of this went down.
What was his answer, by the way?
If I can plug my podcast, because we're going to be also releasing the interview that we did with Sam Altman last week on our show Hard Fork today. So you can go listen to that if you want. But he was just sort of like, look, we didn't know how big this was going to be, but it's been really gratifying to see all of the interesting and useful and heartwarming and weird ways that people are using this. And, you know, people argue about what he said was he doesn't really like this sort of argument about AGI and what counts as being superhuman intelligence. His basic message was, look, we built a thing and people find it useful, and that's all that matters.
Kevin Roos, it is 2:01. We're going to end the conversation here. If this thing is obviated by the time we published, we tried our best. We did it twice. Hopefully the second time around works. Kevin Roos is the New York Times, writes the Shift column there, does great work there. Also does, as he said, Hard Fork, the great podcast with him and Casey Newton. Thank you, Kevin.
Thanks, and I'm not coming back a third time.
See ya. Thanks again to Travis and Jelani and Julie Myers as well. Thanks to our sponsors, and thanks to our listeners. This is Recode Media. We'll see you soon.